Okay, so in 1994, I proved this result that quantum computers could factor large numbers, which is probably the reason why Mike started working on it in the first place. And anyway, after one of the talks I gave on quantum computing, someone came up to me after the talk and was very excited, and it was Mike Friedman, of course, and he started telling me about how, Witten had proved that there was this operator in topological quantum field theory that could have the value of the Jones polynomial, and how maybe you could build a topological quantum field theory computer, which was more powerful than a quantum computer, and if it could find the value of the Jones polynomial, it could solve NP-complete problems. And so, well, I had two reactions to this. First, there aren't any topological quantum field theories in nature, so how is he ever going to build this topological quantum field theory computer? And second, even if he could, I kind of doubted that topological quantum field theory could really solve NP-complete problems, just because, because I come from the area of computer science, and computer scientists, are taught to believe that NP-complete problems are really, really hard. So I went, after the talk, I went home, and I started thinking about this problem, and I realized the catch. And, the catch was that, it's the expectation value of the operator that gives you the Jones polynomial. And if you want to get the exact value of the Jones polynomial, you're going to have to measure the operator many, many times. And if it has a high variance, then maybe you'll have to measure it exponentially many times. So I emailed Mike Friedman about this, and he said, I don't even remember what he responded. But anyway, the next time I saw him, he was still interested in topological quantum field theory computing. And I guess nobody has actually calculated the variance of this operator. And in 1998, he wrote this paper. Where is it? PNP and the quantum field theory computer, and which he set forward these results. Are these, I can't really call them results yet, speculations maybe. Anyway, I think the moral of this is that Mike Friedman is a very hard person to discourage. Luckily for all of us. Anyway, he kept on working on the problem, and in 2002, we have Friedman, Kitayev, and Wang. And Kitayev, Wang, and he showed quantum computations. Okay, so the circuit model computations can simulate topological quantum field theory. And he also, Friedman, Larson, and Wang, topological quantum field theory can simulate quantum computers. So these two models of computation are completely equivalent. And so if you can build a topological quantum field theory, you can do quantum computation. And of course, I had been very skeptical of this at first, but in 1997, Alexei Kitayev had wrote in a paper which said, proposed using topological quantum field theory to do fault tolerance by essentially simulating topological quantum field theory with a quantum circuit. And so that meant that maybe, if you can simulate topological quantum field theory with quantum circuits, maybe topological quantum field theories aren't completely ridiculous physically. And in fact, it now looks like they really exist. So that was, I think that's the background. Well, that's not quite the background.
in 2002, we have, this was 2002. In 2006, we have Aharonov, Jones, and Landau, and Aharonov and Arad. And what they showed, well, they showed exactly the same thing that Friedman, Kitayev, Larson, and Wang had shown in 2002. Slightly stronger results, showed same results in language I could understand. And in fact, language Dorita Harunov could understand too, I presume. So, in this paper, there was an open problem, and that's where I came in. And I'll tell you a little bit about how what the open problem was, and how and how Stephen Jordan and I solved the open problem a couple of years ago. So what they showed, Harunov etc., approximating the Jones polynomial is BQP complete. In fact, at zeta, where zeta to the k equals 1, so at a kth root of unity, k equals 5, k greater than 7, which is the same thing Mike Friedman approved a few years before. So what this means, BQP complete, means if you can approximate the Jones polynomial efficiently, you can do any quantum computation efficiently. So you can take a quantum computation and reduce it to the Jones, to approximating the Jones polynomial of a very complicated knot. And actually they showed that of the Platt closure of a braid. So what does that mean? Well, I mean, we know what a braid is. A braid is something and the Platt closure of a braid, you take this, you turn it into a link. Take the braid, you turn it into a link by sticking, you know, caps on the top and cups on the bottom, and then this gives you a knot, and you can find the Jones polynomial of it, and that is as hard as doing any quantum computation for complicated enough knots. I guess this thing isn't even knotted. And open question, trace closure. So the trace closure of a knot, you have a braid, and the trace closure is you just join the top to the bottom like this. So the Platt closure is BQP complete. The trace closure, they didn't know. And of course, every knot you can express in both a Platt closure and a trace closure. So what's the difference? The difference is the degree of approximation. So the degree of approximation depends on, so that you want to approximate this knot to within an additive approximation that depends on the Jones polynomial, an additive approximation depending on the number of strands. And the number of strands here, you know, if you take a Platt closure of a knot, you can always turn it into I mean, if you take the trace closure of a knot, you can always turn it into a plait closure because, you know, you see you have three caps up here. You can just move them over and get three caps like this. And then you just move these strands behind and you have another braid. And this, what you've done is you've doubled the number of strands. So if you want to approximate it to within an additive factor that depends exponentially on the number of strands, then, you know, approximating, if you double the number of strands, it's a lot harder to approximate. So I'll tell you what I did and then tell you a little bit about how I did it. So Jordan, Stephen Jordan, the trace closure is one clean qubit complete. So what is the computational model for one clean qubit? So the one clean qubit model, you have n qubits, and what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to start the first qubit in zero state. And then the other qubits all start to the n minus 1, all start in the completely mixed state. Apply unitary, so ui, let's say un, un minus 1 through u1, quantum gates. And then you measure first qubit. So why did people look at such a... So this is a model with essentially no workspace. So why did people look at this model? Well, it started with NMR quantum computation. And NMR quantum computation, it's very hard to initialize the state because cooling nuclear spins is really, really tough. So people were wondering what you could do with a set of qubits that started out in a very mixed state. And, well, if you start out in a maximally mixed state, you can't do anything. So this is a state that's, you know, closest to maximally mixed. And in fact, you can show that if you have a constant number of clean qubits, you can simulate this by one clean qubit just by doing repeated computations and then doing some classical post-processing with them on the end. So the model really allows you a constant number of clean, or actually a logarithmic number of clean qubits. So let's see. So now I want to tell you more about the braid group. So the Jones polynomial related to a representation of the braid group. And the basis states are actually this is at k plus second root of unity are walks on 0, 1, 2 through k k. So 0, 1, 2, 3. Say. So any walk on, stays between 0 and k is a basis state of this representation of the braid group. And unitaries, and I should say this is the number of strands in the braid, or rather the unitaries sigma I goes to so you just look at the three, if sigma I is the element of the braid group that crosses the I and I plus first strand, you just look at the three steps of the walk nearest to I, and you have a little matrix, and that is alpha, beta, beta, gamma. So it takes these, it multiplies up, takes up to a superposition of up and down, and this down thing to a superposition of up and down, according to some matrix, which I'm not going to write down. And this actually breaks up into a whole bunch of sectors, and in fact, this goes to some delta times this. And these things depend on J, I should say. So that's how the Jones polynomial does, and what the proof that this was could do arbitrary quantum computation is you need to represent a sequence of zeros of qubits in this representation of the braid group. And what you do is you can represent a zero by up, up, down, down, say, and one by that, say. And so 0, 1, 1, 0, 1 goes to the walk. There. And now you need to find braids simulating quantum gates. So you need to find a braid which takes this, which is a 1-0, and turns it into a 1-1. So if you want a controlled NOT gate, you have to take a 1-0 to a 1-1, a 1-1 to a 1-0, and a 0-0, and a 1-1 stay the same. And you can do that because the braid group is dense at least the braid group, if you restrict to start 0 and end 0, is dense in the set of all, k by k unitary matrices on this part. So that means that by Solovay and Kitayev's theorem, you can find a reasonably sized sequence of braids, which when you multiply them, give you any matrix you want, including conventional quantum gates. So,
are you assuming that k is greater than
2 here? Yeah, I'm assuming k is greater than 7 or k equals 5. So for 4 and 6 and 2 and 3, the braid group is not dense. And in fact, evaluating the Jones polynomial is not
universal for quantum computation.
Okay, so how do we do this? You know, so now what we have, and we also need to start out with this corresponds to the state, the initial state, this, and this corresponds to the measurement projecting onto this basis state. So, I mean, with this you can show that, you know, approximating grades is universal for circuits. So what do we, how do we show it's the one clean qubit model? Well, if you have a braid, and take the trace closure of this, trace, all right, yeah, so the Jones polynomial of this, evaluated at zeta to zeta, is equal to the trace of, you know, this representation of this element of the grade group B. So you have a braid, you take its trace closure, evaluated at k plus second root of unity, that is equivalent, that's equal to the trace of the braid in this representation. So how do we use that? Well, I guess now we have to go back to the one clean qubit model. One clean qubit. What you can do is you can do trace of un, un minus 1, u1. You can find. So here is a trace of a, you know, sequence of quantum gates, and this is a trace of an element of the braid group. So you have to show that you can get the trace of a sequence of quantum gates with braids and the trace of a braid with a sequence of quantum gates. So need to map braids into qubits, or rather, I shouldn't say braids, you need to map basis states for this braid group into qubits and vice versa. And what I'm going to do is tell you how to do it for just k equals 3. So what we do is we can take one of these walks, and we can, you know, label all the zero, all the middle things by zeros and all the edge things by one. We get sequence of zeros and ones with no 1, 1. I mean, it's easy to see you can't have a 1, 1 because from a one you have to go to a middle state, which is a zero. It's also easy to see that any sequence of zeros and ones with no two ones in a row gets mapped to a walk. And this actually, if you just start with this is actually just the Fibonacci topological quantum field theory rather than this Chern-Simons one, but they're essentially equivalent. So we need to take ones and zeros and map them into bits. And we can't use this map because we need to take the trace over all basis elements of the braid group, And if you do that, you know, well, this is a 1, 0, or rather a 0, 1, 1, 0, 1. But there's lots of basis elements which don't correspond to any sequence of bits. And these will drown out your signal. So what you need to do is a cleverer mapping. And what we're going to do is we're going to break it up, break our sequence into log n length things. And then we're going to break it into threes. So maybe we should say 3 log n. And look at first group of 3 of 3, which is either a 1, 0, 1 or a 1, 1, 1. So in this case, this is a 1, 0, 1. And we let this represent a 0. And a 1, 1, 1 would represent a 1. And because we chose this to be 3 log n, nearly all basis states of this braid group rep basis correspond to a sequence of qubits. And what we need to do, so now what we need to do is now we need to find braid operations doing quantum gates. And I see I'm nearly out of time. So how do we do that? Well, we need to use this great fact of the braid group representation that if you look at the braid group acting on, you know, something which starts with a 1 and a 0, well, the braid group can never change the end bits. So it's always going to take it to something else, starting with 1, 0, and the same with 1, 1, 2, 1, 1. So it breaks into 4 sectors, and it's dense within each of these. And the nice thing is it's dense within each of these 2 sectors, and in fact, you can find any, you pick an arbitrary unitary in this sector, an arbitrary unitary in this sector, you can approximate their simultaneous, their direct sum by an element of the braid group. So what we're going to do is let's put a 1 on the first start of this. In fact, we're actually going to need 2 ones. What you can do, if you have a 1 on the start of this, you can do any operation you want, including one that takes a 0 to a 1. So, you know, including this going into 1, 0, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, 1. Wait. I did this backwards. I'm sorry. This is 0, 1, 0, and 0, 0, 0. Including the one that takes 0, 0, 0 into 0, 1, 0, etc. So if you know there's a 1 here, you can choose an arbitrary unitary. So the thing is, you have to ensure somehow that there's a 1 here. And it turns out that through some trick, you're allowed to assume there are 2 ones that you know the position are. And now what you can do is you can move this one here and follow this one here, move this one here, so you get a 1 at the beginning of the qubit you want to change, and then you can apply the unitary that changes that, and then move the ones to the next qubit that you want to change. Okay.
And so this trick and another trick that lets you simulate the braid, the trace closure of the braid with one clean qubit shows that these two things are equivalent. And in fact, Stephen Jordan with Pavel Votsian later showed this for the Homfly polynomial of a knot. The one clean qubit thing is equivalent to the evaluating the Homfly polynomial of the trace closure of a braid at certain points. Let's see, was there one other? Yeah. And, the next question is, can you get any better approximations? So you can approximate this. Mike Friedman and his co-author showed you can approximate the Jones polynomial at the fifth degree of unity with a quantum computer. Well, you probably can't do it with a classical computer unless quantum computers can be simulated with classical computers. So another question is, can you do any better than this not very good approximation? And so Greg Cooperberg has shown that if you can approximate the Jones polynomial within a multiplicative factor of, say, 1 plus epsilon, that's NP-hard. In fact, it's something which is quite a bit harder than NP-hard, which is sharp P complete. And I think I'm out of time. So thank you. Yes.
What kind of topological information would you need to know to resolve this conjecture? I'm not sure which way it's conjectured, but resolve the question of whether a one clean qubit model is the same as the standard quantum model. You pointed out that there is a square root expansion or contraction,
right,
of the Hilbert space.
Yes.
But presumably there was some clever trick for rearranging one picture into another that didn't double the number of strands that would solve the question.
If you could rearrange one picture to another that didn't, in a way that didn't double the number of strands, that really would solve the question. But I think it's very unlikely that the one clean qubit model seems very weak computationally. So I think this probably shows that there's no way of taking a trace closure of a braid to a plat closure of a braid without significantly expanding the number of strands.
I see. So then this could be viewed as a computational complexity argument in favor of a topological conclusion.
That's right.
I should know this, but is one clean qubit equivalent to k clean qubits for any constant k?
One clean qubit is equivalent to k clean qubits for any constant k just by doing. So what you have to do is basically do an extra. I've forgotten how many times you need to run a one clean qubit computation to simulate a k clean qubit computation, but it's only polynomially many times.
Okay, so it's a reasonably robust class.
That's right. And it also seems, I think this braid group argument, this braid group argument also shows that this class is reasonably robust because it doesn't matter whether you're taking the trace of quantum gates to the trace of representations of the braid group.